Hey there, Pearlside Small Group Leaders. Welcome to another Small Group Leaders podcast where we help you prepare to lead your small groups. It's Pastor Billy here. I'm with Pastor Tim Ma.
Hello, everyone.
Our downtown congregation pastor, and we are excited to dive into this next part of our series, Encounters, Never the Same. And you know, I just, before we dive into this, I want to just do a quick reminder to all of us as leaders that we have our School of Empowerment and School of Healing coming up May 20th to 24th. The last day to register is April the 16th, but if you need to squeeze yourself in by a little after that, we can find a way to get you in because we want to get as many people equipped and empowered to operate and move in the Spirit. And everyone that went last year just absolutely loved it. It's a commitment, but it's well worth it, and I know you're going to be blessed. People got touched, they got healed, miracles began to break out, and so, but more than that, we were equipped to go and move in the power of the Holy Spirit as ministers. So I want to highly encourage that. Also coming up is our Small Group Leaders Summit, we want to encourage you to sign up and register. It's at the end of this month, we have Dr. Marcy Verduin coming in, who's going to equip us. It's going to be a very powerful and very fruitful time, well worth it. Highly encourage you to sign up for that as well. Amen. Well, we're going to dive into our discussion here, and you know, after Jesus' brutal death on the cross, his disciples were hiding in the upper room, in fear of their own lives, because they had feared that the same people that murdered Jesus were now going to come after them. I mean, that's a pretty reasonable fear. And it says they had the doors locked for fear of the Jews. But what I love about this is in the midst of their fear, Jesus showed up. He walked through that locked door or the wall. We don't know exactly where, but he shows up in the middle of the room and he begins to, and he revealed himself to them, and it brought peace and overcame the fear. And what we know happened after this story is that these disciples were so filled with faith rather than fear, they went out and told everyone Jesus is alive. And you know, in all of our lives, we're going to face moments of fear. There are tons of things in life that can cause us to live in fear, but God wants us to live in faith. How do we do that? And I think this passage shows us some examples and lessons on how we can live in faith. And so, in your notes that we talked about this past weekend and in this discussion guide, we have here, Jesus offers the cure for fear. And you know what that is? It's faith. It's faith in Jesus, the other F word, amen. The other four-letter F word, faith in Jesus, is what helps us to overcome fear. Because when Jesus shows up and when we have faith in Jesus, he brings us divine peace, right? He said, peace be with you. They needed peace because they were filled with fear. Well, when we find Jesus, he brings us divine peace, no matter what's going on the outside. And he also gave a revelation of who he was, right? He showed them his hands, he showed them his side, and it says in the text the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the reality of the resurrected Christ. Now, this is important. I want to pause here for just a moment because, you know, when Jesus showed up and revealed that he was in fact alive, it gave them faith because they knew that death has no power. Because they just witnessed Jesus being brutally murdered, brutalized, and they, I'm sure, had some level of post-traumatic stress disorder after witnessing that, which is what leads to fear and anxiety in our lives. But when Jesus came out of the grave, he revealed his physical body, showing his wounds. I mean, they must have noticed, like, man, even death has no power over Jesus if we trust in him. And that gave them, I'm sure, a ton of faith that overcame fear. And then it gave them a divine purpose, right? He said, as the Father sent me, I am sending you. And when we walk out our God-given purpose, that also helps us to overcome fear in our lives. One of the things that we always say is the safest place to be is in the middle of God's will for your life. Because if you're walking in God's will, you can't die until God says it's your time, because you're walking in his plan and his purpose. The safest place to be in is in the middle of God's will. And then lastly, he gave them the power of the Holy Spirit. He breathed on them and he said, receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit helps us to overcome fear and the moments where we don't even know what to do, right? He gives us the words to speak and he is with us. He says he will never leave us nor forsake us. There's so much that we can take out of this. But one thing I want us to take away, how do we receive this? By inviting Jesus into our places of fear. I know for me, whenever I experience fear or worry or anxiety or whatever, a lot of times my first move is to try to figure it out myself. Right? But when I begin to invite Jesus into that, he gives me clarity and strength and helps me to do what he needs me to do in those moments. And I love this verse, Philippians 4, 6 through 7. Do not be anxious about anything, right? Don't fear anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. We don't need to be anxious if in every situation we invite Jesus into that, by prayer, petition, worship, and then his peace comes, right? And how many times do we wait till we have nothing left or we've tried everything, then we pray about it, then we invite Jesus in? What if we were to invite him in the beginning? Maybe we wouldn't get racked with fear and anxiety like we sometimes do. And so there's freedom and there's power when we have faith in Jesus. Amen. A lot of stuff here, and I know we'll have great discussions on it. So as you reflect on the main thought scriptures in the weekend sermon, what is the Lord highlighting to you and why? Pastor Tim, want to lead us off?
Yeah. Thank you, Pastor Billy, for walking us through all the different points that are highlighted from the sermon and from this guide here. And what you can see is there's this contrast, right? There's fear, and the disciples were first afraid of the religious leaders, and then they're afraid of Jesus when he first walked in.
Because they didn't really been scared too,
recognize what Jesus is trying to do, walking through walls. That's the first time they realized he could do that.
Yeah.
But then I love the contrast. Then Jesus says twice, peace be with you. Mm-hmm. And the fact that it records they were overjoyed. Mm-hmm. I think about, you know, as a father of four kids and parents, you guys can relate. When you're trying to pull something out of a child's hand, it's really hard, right? When they won't let go of it. Mm. But the best technique I found was to replace it with something better. Mm. And I think that's what stands out to me in this guide and in this sermon is that Jesus offers us peace. He offers us joy. Mm-hmm. And it's how we release that fear is by allowing his spirit, you know, and Jesus breathed upon his disciples to replace fear.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I know not everyone's a parent as a small group leader. So small group leaders, you know, you could think of it as real estate too. We give too much room for the enemy to invade our thoughts with fear.
Yeah.
But then when we allow Jesus to take that real estate, and we teach this in all our freedom classes, it's really that. It's a choice of, are we going to allow the enemy or whatever we're fearful to occupy our minds, our emotions, our thoughts, or are we going to allow Jesus and his presence to occupy that space?
That's good. Yeah, I mean, that saying, right? Like, I'm living rent-free in your head.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, the devil lives rent-free in our heads sometimes because we allow the fear to just kind of continue to swirl, right? But and that's why I love what you said, right? And that's why in every situation, I love that last verse in Philippians, by prayer and petition, invite Jesus. I mean, that's my translation, right? Invite Jesus into those moments. Present your requests to God.
Yeah.
How many times do we not do that? I mean, we just had a discussion in my small group that related to this, and all of us agreed, like, yeah, we prayer is like the last thing we do. You know what I mean? Like, it's our last resort. Like, oh, nothing worked. All we can do now is pray. We should have done that in the beginning. You know what I mean? Not all we can do now. That should be the first thing that we do. But I just realized just in me, like, that's usually the last thing, and maybe that's why our society, myself at times, we can be racked with worry, anxiety, stress, right? Because we're not inviting Jesus in. What I love about this story is Jesus doesn't wait to be invited, you know?
Yeah.
Because they didn't know any better, you know? Right. But now we know better. But I love how he just barges his way and like, hey, what's up, guys? You know? And that freaked him out. That's why he had to tell him twice, right? Peace be with you. But either way, I mean, the peace comes when we invite Jesus into those moments, you know? And so, I mean, that's just a big, big standout thing for me. I think another thing was just the revelation of who he is, peace, right? Where he showed them, I'm alive. Like, I'm not a ghost. I'm really alive. And you know what I think that gave them is a glimpse into the power of the resurrection, for one, that no matter what man does to our bodies or no matter what happens to our physical bodies, God will resurrect it. You know what I mean? Like, Jesus' body was destroyed on the cross, and yet on the third day, he's now walking through walls and showing that he's alive.
Right.
And so no matter what happens to us this side of heaven, because that's what a lot of people fear, right? The fear of death, the fear of sickness, the fear of whatever. No matter what happens to us on this side of heaven, no matter what man may do to us or disease may do to us, God can resurrect us in a moment and in a flash and in a heartbeat. And that's what the Bible says. When we're face to face with him, we will be like him, for we'll see him as he is. As Jesus has a resurrected body, so will we have a resurrected body. And that should give us faith to dispel the fear that no matter what happens to me on this earth, I'm going to be fine because of Jesus, right? And that revelation should give us strength when we go through what we go through in this life. We're afraid of that diagnosis. We're afraid of that fear. I mean, all of our bodies are slowly decaying and dying. Hate to bum you out, but you know that's true. That shouldn't cause us fear, but rather faith. Okay, well, when I see Jesus face to face in heaven, I'll have a resurrected body. So I can live as boldly as I need to live on this side of heaven, just as Jesus did, right? Anyway, that really encourages me when I think about things that may cause me fear. Let's look at these next questions here. Have you ever experienced fear that kept you from fully living out your faith? That's a great question. Because sometimes we don't realize how fear debilitates us and causes us to live in a box, to you know, not take the risks or the steps that we need to take. Pastor Tim, any thoughts there?
Yeah, I think it's important to note that there's all types of different fears that people and our groups will go through. Mm-hmm. So I think this is a good moment as, you know, people go around the circle to share with one another the kind of fears they're facing, because it could be a relational fear. I fear being single. I fear being alone, right? Sure. For those of you with single people in your group, especially if they're older in age and they are believing for marriage. And there's people that are afraid of finances. And I've been through that. And that's leading into the next bullet question. But for many people, especially the high cost of living here in Hawaii, if you're a family man or a mom, you know, trying to think how you're going to pay your bills, there's a lot of things that can distract from faith. And I think it's important to validate and to uncover all the different fears that are represented in the group. Because the great thing is, like you just mentioned a moment ago, Pastor Billy, is that when we take a step back, we realize it's all temporal things.
That's right, all temporary.
And when we realize Jesus' authority and how he conquered death, that's where, just like Jesus breathed faith and breathed the Spirit into his disciples, he can do the same in this discussion.
No, that's right. That's a great point. Thank you for bringing that up, because everything is temporary in this life. And when you study the book of Revelation, you realize God's going to lay waste this entire earth with fire at some point. Okay, now that's not a warm and fuzzy thought we like to think about, but a lot of times what we're afraid of is losing all the stuff that's going to get burnt up anyway. Mm-hmm. I'm going to lose my house. I'm going to lose my car. I'm going to lose my investments. Well, all of that is temporary anyway, right? The only thing that lasts forever are the souls of people that live with him forever through Jesus Christ. And so sometimes we fear the wrong things. So I was just thinking about from this question, have you ever experienced fear that kept you from fully living out your faith? Well, you know, one fear is the fear of man, right? The fear of rejection, people are going to say to you or say about you and do to you. So, you know, my son joined this new basketball team in 2020. We moved to town, right? And then, you know, all these new relationships I'm now having to build. And, you know, one of my fears, can I just be honest with all you leaders, is like, if they find out I'm a Christian, if they find out I'm a pastor, you know, how will they treat me? If you remember in 2020, there was a lot of tension around conservatives and all this kind of thing. And I was just like, man, I want my son to get a good position on this team. I want them to like us so that he has opportunities and all that. And I remember just feeling this fear of like, man, what are people going to think if they find out what I do? You know, they find out what I believe. And, you know, I realized as I was talking to a lot of people that that's what a lot of people deal with. Like, I'm afraid of getting canceled, right? Afraid of losing opportunities if people find out I'm a Christ follower, all these things. But I realized that that's not the way that God's called us to live. And so I remember one day I got out of my car. I shared this before. Got out of my car, just started talking to some of the parents. And everyone's going to ask you, oh, so what do you do? Oh, I'm a pastor, you know? And but rather than being met with the rejection that I expected in my head, right, letting the enemy live rent-free in my head, I found the opposite. And people were very open. And now some of them are my friends. In fact, one of them is a really good friend now. Another family started coming to church. And I just see like, wow, God, I was allowing the enemy to keep me in fear, hiding away in my car, not engaging these people. And there was nothing to be afraid of, you know, or I just needed to push through that and, you know, break through those fears anyway. But there's a lot of ways that the enemy will cause us to live far less than God's calling. And we can't allow him to do that. We got to live in faith, not in fear. The third question here, share a moment from your life when you felt God's peace amid fear and uncertainty. How did this peace change your perspective? Pastor Tim, you said you have an example on this.
Yeah, I was talking about finances. And, you know, those of you who heard my sermon, you've heard how there was a time in my life where I had a major medical bill. I didn't know how I was going to pay for it. And fear was racking me. But at that point, I had to surrender it to God and trust him that, you know, one way or another, I'm going to be okay. For me, fortunately, it worked out. The hospital that did the surgery and where I had to go have that emergency operation, they had a fund with donors that give towards situations like me. And so that kicked in and I owed zero. But what I like to know... what I like to glorify God in that is even before I got the result of that letter, even before I knew they even had that fund, I was able to experience Jesus's peace because of being able to just fully surrender the situation to him and look to him and not the medical bill.
Yeah, I love what you said. One way or another, we're going to be okay, right?
Right, exactly.
We don't have the time, but I got so many stories like that just in my own life. But that's the thought, like one way or another, I don't know how this is going to turn out, but I know God's going to take care of us. right? You know, somehow this is going to mm-hmm. work out because God is good and he's faithful to his kids. And you've seen that. Yeah, that's amazing, Tim. And then we can segue. So anyway, leaders, when we talk through these questions, you know, create space for people to share and reflect mm-hmm. and process and encourage one another as well. Our stories help encourage one another's right. faith. But let's also make room, you know, if you know, and you don't have to do all four of these questions, by the way, but I want to encourage you to do this fourth one because we want to give space for people yes. to share about the current acute yes. fears in their lives. Is there any fear in your life that you need to invite Jesus in right now? That's the key, right now. What practical steps will you take to make this happen? Everyone is walking through some level of stress, anxiety, and fear. Maybe it's not fear in the most extreme sense, but worry, right? We worry about what's going to happen, our finances, our health, et cetera. And let people share that. And then practically, what steps can we take to let Jesus into that? That's the key.
Yeah. If I can just share two spiritual, quote unquote, judo moves where you can flip it on the enemy.
Okay.
On this one, leaders, take this with you to encourage your group. Because it's easy to say, you know, just trust Jesus and don't believe in that thing. Mm-hmm. But here's how you can go deeper in that thought. Oftentimes when we associate faith, it's only towards Christ. Mm-hmm. But if we allow fear to dwell in our minds, our emotions, our head, it's actually placing more faith in that fear. Mm-hmm. And so when you realize that that's that we're actually placing faith in that fear, then it helps us. No, I don't want that. I don't mm-hmm. want to make fear my God. I want to make Christ my God.
Right.
And then the good news is just as Jesus walked through that wall of these disciples locked themselves in that room, in the same way, once we place our faith in Christ, there's nothing that can stop him from invading our
right.
lives.
That's it.
And so it's not that we have to get stronger and get more bold and more brave, but once we do that spiritual judo move of flipping our faith from whatever we're fearful of, the lack of finances or other people's opinions, and we place it in Christ, it's knowing, okay, Jesus, you're going to come into this situation.
Amen. I love what Pastor Goliath said, where we fear, what we fear most is where we trust God
exactly.
the least.
Yes.
What we fear most is where we trust God the least. And mm-hmm. that's really the truth. Do you trust God for your health?
So good.
Do you trust God for your finances? Mm-hmm. Do you trust God for your safety? And I'll be honest, sometimes I don't. And that's when fear comes in because yeah. I got to yeah. figure it out. No, I'm supposed to trust him in this. Mm-hmm. Do you trust God that when you die, he's going to take care of you yeah. and there's something better in heaven? Do you trust God in death? And honestly, sometimes we say, not really. That's where we need mm-hmm. to turn to Jesus and let him into that. Thank you, Pastor Dan. That was really good. And so leaders, let's you know, when we come into this discussion, yeah, I want to encourage us as Pastor Tim to don't just give the short answers like you just need to trust God or you just need more faith. That's sometimes not helpful. But to practically, how can you invite Jesus in? How can yeah. you trust Jesus more
right.
is the antidote to our fear. I know we said a lot here today. Hopefully that's something you can take away to help you as you lead your groups this week. Let's create room for people to share. Mm-hmm. And then let's make sure we pray. Because in these places of fear, let's enter into those moments
yes.
with them with compassion. Pray for them. Invite Jesus into the moment in that prayer and let him do the work that only he can do.
Praise
Amen.
God.
Well, thank you, leaders. We want to thank you for all of your hard work, all of your love and sacrifice and service. God's doing great things all around our church, and we want to just keep continuing to be faithful in making disciples and building his kingdom one life at a time. Amen. So thank you, leaders. We love you. You guys are amazing, and we'll see you again soon. Have a great small group. God bless you.
Bless you.